Hello, you're listening to Spoiler
Filled
Film
Conversation.
Hooray!
Hooray! Hello, I'm Richard Nicholas, and chatting about a film this week is Anthony Evans.
Hello.
And Abigail Bain.
Hello.
And the film we are here to have a little chat about is Convoy.
I think you'll find that Convoy.
I don't think it's quite that lovely. I think there's a more masculine brogue to it. But yes, the elongated convoy. It's not spelt with as many O's as the song would lead us to believe. But convoy it is. From which year?
Well, I've got the details here, so I'll do that now.
You go ahead. You go ahead.
Convoy is a 1978 film made by EMI Films and directed by Sam Peckinpah, who we've touched upon before, if you remember.
Mm.
In Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia. Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. It's based on a screenplay by Bill L. Norton, which itself is based on a 1975 country and western smash hit, also named Convoy, by C.W. McCall and Chip Davis. The film follows Martin Rubber Duck Penwald as he and fellow truckers attempt to flee from an abusive and corrupt local sheriff. Along the way, they are joined by ever-increasing amounts of truckers as their growing convoy comes to stand as a symbol against corruption and discrimination. Convoy stars Kris Kristofferson as Rubber Duck, Ernest Borgnine as Sheriff Lyle Cottonmouth Wallace, Ally McGraw as Melissa, boring, Bert Young as Bobby Love Machine, a.k.a. Pigpen, Franklin, I apologize if I get this wrong, Ayea as Spider Mike, and Madge Sinclair as Widow Woman.
For once, that was quite a concise summing up of the plot. Sometimes they give an idea of the plot on the descriptions, but that was good. It pretty much covers all we need to. That is the film, and those are the names of the people, as weird as they are, their handles anyway. So, yeah, good job. So, Anthony, it was your choice. Why did we watch this film?
Well, I stumbled upon the song Convoy first. And then, like, after doing a bit of research, I discovered that a film was based on this song. And then, after that, I found out that it was directed by Sam Peckinpah, who is actually quite a name. And I thought, of all the things that is film bin, a film based on a song made by a notoriously violent and like disgruntled film director is like perfect choice for us.
It ticks all the boxes, doesn't it?
And as a bonus, it has Kris Kristofferson, who is always good for an interesting stab at mediocrity, in my view. We haven't touched on him yet, but I suspect at some point there'll be some kind of film bin production that'll look at the film Millennium, which is interesting. But he's an interesting actor, if not a quality one, but not to say he's a bad one either. I mean, you know, I just think it is very much the right fit for us. And it's a trucker film. I haven't seen many trucker films. Come to think of it, I can only think of one, and that's Duel, and I haven't seen that, so trucker films, guys. Have you seen any?
No, I think they're fairly few and far between.
It's niche.
Because, well, I couldn't say why, but well, I suppose it's a kind of, it doesn't really lend itself well to the movie.
It's kind of a subcategory of the genre of music that is country and western. It's kind of a style of music within that branch, which, you know, country and western often has movies about it and themed along it, but yeah, it is a bit niche. Abby, have you seen any? Heard of
I've
any?
I've seen Space Truckers.
Mm.
Which was, I remember coming out of the cinema vaguely bewildered, but not disappointed.
Fair enough.
That'll be another one to touch on at some later point, definitely.
But I was interested in it because I've not seen anything like it. And I really like the video game Vigilante 8 and its sequel, and they're kind of 70s-y, and there's this like big truck car that you can be in, like, you know, they just, it's a violent car game, and they're so weird and 70s in that game, and I love that game, so I was interested from that perspective. But you hadn't seen it before, Abby hadn't seen it before, I hadn't seen it before.
Mm.
What were you expecting, guys?
I don't really know, because like I said, I was coming off the bat that this film was made of a song, and I was just, I guess, just curious as to how it would go.
Well, like,
how does one do that?
Yeah.
That's a thing.
And it's not a musical. It's not like, you know, the musical Trucker movie. I'm sure there might be one out there. But, yeah.
Like, on first glance, it's called Convoy, and it's a Trucker movie based on a song. I mean, it's all just novelty, and this, you come in thinking this will just be like a stupid novelty film with no kind of worth. But then you see it's directed by Sam Peckinpah, and it's like, well, this is a whole different kettle of fish now.
Yeah.
So I don't know, just really curious as to how this would work.
So yeah, I mean, Peckinpah, you'd expect, you know, a lot of violence. But in this case, there is violence, but it is kind of silly and kind of slapstick and quite over the top, isn't it?
Yeah, it kind of fits into the Smokey and the Bandit mold. That, I think those films were quite popular at the time, and this is come from that a bit as well.
Yeah, I got a similar vibe, definitely.
Just sort of the 70s, somehow.
Yeah, because it's not quite a caper movie, is it? Because it takes itself fundamentally seriously, apart from any time where it has action or violence, then it's silly, because it's like trucks smashing through buildings and probably the greatest bar fight I've ever seen. That's what I'd like to talk about, actually. Did you guys enjoy the bar fight that was early on in the film?
Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah.
It was how A-Team fights wishes they were.
It was like many A-Team fights all in one, and somehow more fun and more insane. They just trashed everything. Every table, every person, men and women were getting punched left and right. There was like three cops and a whole bunch of truckers and people who, you know, hang out in a trucker diner, all just smashing everything mercilessly for ages. And really just tables, chairs, people being thrown over the dining bar. You know, everything. It was amazing and incredibly ridiculous.
You touched on one of the things there that I liked about it in particular, is that it was an equal opportunities bar fight. That it's men, women, you're getting punched. Don't matter.
Yeah. And it was off the back of what was quite an intense, awkward thing. There was this difficult, corrupt sheriff that was trying to pick a fight because, I don't know, he hates truckers. And it was off the back of quite an intense, possibly race-related thing where he was trying to pick on one particular guy and kind of arrest him for nothing. And it was getting a bit serious. And then suddenly it's like, you've insulted my woman. Now I'm hitting you. Oh, look, everyone's fighting. Like, it was great. It could have gone a much more darker place. And it went, no, let's have fun.
Well, this film has definitely been giving me, Western vibes.
Mm.
So, I don't know, it kind of felt like there was kind of going to be a bar brawl at some point.
Yeah, I mean, it was the kind of movie that is about masculine figures. It's kind of a romanticized look at the idea of an American trucker in many ways. It's kind of, it's because it's based on a song, it's almost like the movie tries to show you the poetry of the song and the kind of the romanticizing of this image of the lone trucker on the road and just also the camaraderie. It's definitely taking an affectionate look at the subject, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's got, yeah, I find it's got a lot of parallels actually with with the Western. The truckers are kind of the cowboys. Like the modern day cowboys, I suppose, that the Westerns focus on.
And they say something along that lines, don't they? They call him a cowboy or one of the great last frontiersmen, or did they say something?
Yeah, they definitely touch upon it in the film. There are definitely deeper moments in this film, but which examine kind of the human condition.
Yeah.
Much the way the Westerns were doing at the time. Kind of love by Peckinpah himself and Sergio Leone.
And I think also at times the film tried to examine social changes, because the setting of it, is not a very progressive place in terms of there's still racism. I mean, it's the 70s, there's racism in America anyway, but it's in the less progressive part of America. And it is having a look at how people treat, you know, just the black community. We have a couple of black characters, but mostly truckers universally are good, and they treat everyone equally, and they're all just, everyone's fine, and we're all friends here. But it's the police and the authority that are, and the media that are sort of demonized as well, isn't it? So it tries to say something about society, while having bar fights that are insane, and trucks crashing into buildings, and weird country and western songs. I mean, it's got loads of stuff in it to like. It's just jammed. Jammed full.
Jammed full. Like, it does kind of touch upon, like, these, like, social, political things going on in, the trucker community and, like, in the USA, I suppose. But it does kind of feel a bit tacked on, like there was another story. Like that wasn't the focus. And it just kind of like, oh, well, where do we go from here? Like, after the convoy has kind of been made, it's like, where do we go from here? And it's like, well, it's... throw in some social political commentary,
but then also let's not get bogged down in that, let's not answer any questions, let's just have a cool happy ending or whatever you want to call it. It's more about having fun and the trucker lifestyle, but it does try, it doesn't, you know, come to any great conclusions.
It just to me it just seemed to come out of like out of nowhere, and you weren't really kind of sure like what this convoy was like really about.
They seem to,
once like the like initial convoy is on the run, then everyone else just kind of joins in for the fun, and then all of a sudden there's like political issues which governors have to get involved with.
I didn't fully understand. That's why it tried that. It tried to talk about government and the media interpretation and joining in, and this idea of people liking the image of the trucker and being on board with it. But it didn't actually make sense. It was kind of like, wait, so people are just joining in with a TV stunt, essentially. Oh, this is on the news, or this is going on. Let's join in. It looks like fun, I guess.
And it's all for the kind of benefit of the rubber duck character, or duck, as most people call him. He's just becomes like this lone figure who is just going about his own daily business, and all of a sudden he's part of something greater. But, I don't know, that doesn't really translate to me.
Sure.
Well, because they just come out of nowhere and you're not really sure what they're fighting for.
Well, it's that mix of tone problem where it is sort of a manly movie for men to watch and go, yeah, this kind of vague anti-hero who's a manly man and that's all cool. But it kind of that sits at odds with this kind of more media, government interpreting the events, and like it doesn't go all this extra stuff they tack on with what they set up, which is quite a chauvinistic man, quite a, like, you know, they're trying to play him as a hunk. It's almost like a kind of Mills and Boone story that gets Americanized, and kind of, like, it's so weird. Like, what do you like? Let's have a look at the character of Rubber Duck. Abby, you are a lady, so you can say whether you fought Kris Kristofferson is attractive, and if he pulls off this weirdly named character, Rubber Duck, and your thoughts on him?
He is attractive enough to appeal to most women, I'd say. He's not my cup of tea, but I don't look at him and think he's ugly.
You have to like the denim and beard look. He's certainly a more attractive trucker than you might usually get.
Yes.
No offence, truckers. You're cool. In Britain, they tend to just be in, like, those like collared t-shirts and have quite shaven short hair. Like, that tends to be the image in America. It's much more of an iconic look, isn't it? You know, there's a difference definitely between the European truckers and the kind of cowboy hat wearing blue denim or trucker caps and, you know, greasy kind of looking guys. No offense.
It was weird because he seemed like quite a loner, except for the part where he was in that diner, where he was this ultimate ladies' man, but that was never. It was. It was. unnecessary.
Well, he's like a legend of the road as well. Like, all these truckers who have such silly handles and call each other, like, Love Machine or Spider Mike or... I mean, you know, Pigpen is what they call Love Machine in the end, but they have kind of weird handles. And I get that. It's, I mean, it's something that happens on the internet now. Pretty much everyone has their online name. And it's the trucker community kind of were there first with their, like, nicknames and stuff. And they have a lot of banter, and a lot of it's lost in the kind of CB radio talk, the whole, like, what's your 20 and, like, breaker, breaker, like, stuff you might not know. Like, I certainly was, some of it was like, I'm not sure which one's a name and which one's a code for something that's happening. How did you guys get on with the, like, translation of everything?
I don't know. I thought it was okay. I mean, I've been subject to enough trucking speak over the years in film and TV. But I wasn't too lost, I suppose.
I think it's because the introduction is names as well as the talk, so they're having a bit of banter about what's going on. And they've got the weird names, and you don't know who they are yet. So it's like Rubber Duck, Love Machine. What? What are you saying? Sorry, like you've lost me. But you get after a while, you do get on the case and know who people are, at least. So it didn't trouble you then.
No, it was okay.
But Abby, you would suggest that Kris Kristofferson is an acceptable choice for a kind of a vaguely attractive trucker.
Yeah.
But he is inexplicably this legend of the road who they know about because of past stories of truck-based shenanigans. So don't really get into it. And also,
well, it's a relatively small world. They do manage to get a lot of truckers in the convoy.
Yeah.
But at its peak, I sort of felt like, well, those are all the truckers that exist. Mm. And that was still only like 100.
And they're all going to be telling each other stories over the radio just to entertain themselves on the long drives and stuff. So I guess there is a lot of folk telling stories and, like, you know, legends of the road to be passed on. So Rubber Duck, our main guy, he is a legend and a ladies' man because he can just turn up at a diner, have a waitress who knows him, expect him, and is sort of I don't know, someone he has an affair with. But he also kisses, like, another female trucker. And instantly starts eyeing up this hitchhiking lady who he's seen further down the road. And it's like, who is this guy? Where does he get off? Like, what's going on with it? Drives a truck and he thinks he can just waltz in a diner and, you know, get all the ladies. Like, what's going on? This isn't a... Truckers don't do that. At least they don't in reality. Do they? Are they incredible love machines and we don't realise?
Well, I guess it's just it goes with the image, doesn't it? They're always drifting, and they like have their own floozy in every town, kind of thing.
I suppose
it's just epitomizing that.
I think it comes from having a bed at your disposal wherever you've parked.
That's true. I mean, they have this reputation, but it isn't the ladies' man thing. It's just the you know, you're on the road. These things happen, you know. We're all human and all that. But, you know, truckers, they're mullets and sweat patches and trucker caps, aren't they? Usually not Kris Kristofferson, with his needlessly getting topless whenever he feels like it attitudes.
Yeah, he's the romanticized version of it, I suppose.
That's what I mean.
Whereas, like, Burt Young is the kind of, well, stereotypical version of them.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, obviously, there are many types of truckers in the film, and they kind of represent different types of characters. But it is like Kris Kristofferson is the romanticized ideal hero of the road, whereas the other guys are just, you know, people who represent truckers a bit more even-handedly, I think. They seem a bit more real compared to this guy who's essentially, like, chauvinistic and awful, but is somehow our hero for this, because he's willing to fight corrupt cops because, you know, he had to, like, and then he tries to run away from his problems in a way. Like, he's not that good an anti-hero, really. I don't know. I felt in my silly old liberal modern ways, felt like he's not the best role model. And yet, there he is, our hero. We want him to win.
But the sort of part of the point of it was that he... How can I put this now? He never asked to be followed.
And he never asked for the trouble. Essentially, they set it up at the start where there's a cop who's trying to basically... What's the word when you try and goad someone into something? You kind of trick someone.
Entrapment.
Yeah.
That's what they call it anyway.
Yeah, it's kind of... the main cop, what's his name?
Cottonmouth.
Yeah, Cottonmouth, which is his sort of weird fake handle or whatever it is.
Or Dirty Lyle, depending on your orientation in this movie.
So this like high up, is he a sheriff or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He tries to entrap the three travelling guys. Because we basically get Pigpen, Rubber Duck, and Spider Mike travelling in a convoy, the three of them. They've met up, they start chatting. And then they get entrapped into being caught speeding or something, don't they? But yeah, they were speeding, so...
Yeah, but like this, because the sheriff tricked them into speeding.
He...
By pretending to be like another trucker and saying like there's nothing to stop you speeding over the next couple of miles or whatever.
Ah, yes. And then, so it's like he's a bad guy. He's doing it essentially not to arrest them. He's just trying to get them to pay a fine to him directly and not, you know, challenge him and have it be brought in and arrested and lose their... like, job, potentially, you know?
Mm.
So we set him up as a bad guy, but then they like to escalate and build on that, because it takes on that kind of Smokey and the Bandit sheriff relationship, like, as it goes on and progresses into the madness. Because essentially it's just, okay, that was a dirty trick, let's move on. And then at the bar, they want to get their own back on him, don't they? And they sort of just, they kind of prank CB radio him and call it, like, you know, and goad him. And then it becomes tense, then we have the bar fight, etc. We're not going to go through all of it step by step. I just kind of wanted to set up the basic story so we could talk about it.
Yeah, thinking about it plot-wise, like, this film is fairly straightforward. It's just
like a
these
road.
Guys, like, just come to blows with the sheriff, go on the run, get some support, and that's really about it until, like, the last kind of turn of the film.
Yeah, he's essentially their Dick Dastardly character, only he's not in the race. He somehow is in the race. He keeps having to commandeer new police vehicles and like hot rods off stone teenagers, and he's constantly chasing them and getting ahead of them and trying to thwart them.
Whilst shouting abuse over the CB radio.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the Blues Brothers in a little way. Just the way this tenacious sheriff is endlessly chasing these guys.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. They don't break into any James Brown-led musical numbers. But they got that convoy song to have come through and sing about the guys as they go and tell the story. So there's that as well. I guess...
Lots of stunts as well.
That's it, yeah. We have some cool, like, road-based, fair enough, the cops are after you now. Basically, they fight cops, they strip some cop cars and try and run... through states so they can get, you know, so they can't be prosecuted or whatever. And because so many of them are involved in the bar fight, that's how we get a convoy. And it's just then, how can we get rid of the cops constantly, isn't it, for a while?
I'm trying to think if... I'm not sure if... It's not clear all the time if they're really trying to get away from the cops anymore or if they're just sort of driving.
Well, at some point they must make a decision to ditch their planned route to wherever they're delivering their stuff. They seem to not care about the property that they're carrying. You know, they got all kinds of different things in the back of their trucks. Yeah, it doesn't...
Yeah, one of them even has like a crate of like live pigs.
But
it's like, and it never kind of comes up as to like, well, what's happening to them?
Yeah, when you've run away to, like, basically Mexico by the end is where they're aiming for, it's like, well, you have pigs now that you've stolen. Like, I'm not sure the contracts truckers sign. I mean, they're independent, so in quotation marks is kind of, so it doesn't matter too much if they, I don't know, one company doesn't use them or they try a different place to drive their trucks. But it's like, we're kind of matters, guys. Like, I'm not sure. You couldn't do a modern version of this because people would have to be held accountable to their actions that apparently the 70s, they didn't have to. I don't understand. But hey, they don't care, and neither do we, because it's more cool to watch trucks, like, you know, mess about with the cops. They get the the one sheriff guy to drive the cop car between two trucks, idiot, and they crush him. And that was kind of exciting, right? That was a good stunt where they sort of crush a cop car between two big lorries.
That was really interesting, actually, because that was one of those stunts where it's just, you're just doing that. There's no way to fake this.
Well,
you are just being frightened in between two trucks there.
I guess they probably have a few shots that are close up that they're just in a studio, like, I don't know, using grinders on the side or something. But it looked, they shot it there legitimately on the road for some of it, so it looked pretty cool. It's not, you know, you don't see, like, in an action movie, you'd have it intercut loads and you'd really try and up the drama and you'd have probably a more obvious hero. In this, it was just, let's enjoy the stunt, not worry about the through narrative and it being exciting and, like, you know, no guns blazing or anything, really.
There was a lot more slow motion in this film than I was expecting from, like, a movie based on, like, running away in trucks. Did anyone else notice that?
They had some bit on, like, a dirt road for a while where it's like, uh-oh, it's going to go, like, ice road truckers or dust road truckers and get all, it's going to be really hard because there's lots of turns on a slippery road. And then there was just, like, slowed it down and watched all the dust and, like, had music playing. And it was like, what are we got a screensaver on? What's going on?
Like, one of the bits that epitomized it for me was there was a stunt where Duck accidentally, like turns the wheel and sends the sheriff off the cliff, like through a signboard and like through a barn.
Yeah, that was an amazing stunt as well.
That was. But like once it was all over and like the stunt had finished, there was still a slow motion shot of chickens falling from the barn.
Kind of John.
Yeah.
John Woo pigeon style. John Woo dove style, isn't it? You know, have them all fly out.
So yeah, it's like sometimes like the slow motion was a bit distracting because, well, I guess you're not really expecting it from like a 70s film about trucks.
Yeah, but you film a crash, you want it to look good. Like, Abby, did it put you in mind of the stuntman game we've played?
Yes, it did.
Like all of the classic, films that you spoof in that game, I were just like, yeah, it's the bit where you like go around the vehicle and get close to the semi, and then you crash through crashing through a billboard. That's just legendary, and a roof. You know, it's just the perfect kind of car action movie bits. Were all the way through. They even had like quite technical stunts, like tipping a truck over on a bend, and like they did a lot of the things that are kind of textbook stunts for big lorries, I guess. Now they kind of it set the precedent, or at least, you know, did some good versions of these kind of stunts.
Mm.
Yeah, especially the final kind of big explosion stunt at the end.
Yeah, one of the interesting things is because it's an escalation throughout the whole film of it, right, now that they're getting more and more, like people join them for no reason other than, you know, America and convoys, yeah. I hate the cops, so I'm going to get in a traffic jam that's a bit faster moving than usual. And but they get to the end and it's like, okay, we may have to call in the army now because you've basically broken someone out of jail by crashing trucks into a jail. That's a bold plan. As far as, you know, oh no, they've got our guy in jail. Most people would just accept that and go, I guess we go through the court procedure. Not when you're a trucker. You just smash your vehicle into the town, killing all the businesses that, you know, there was loads of, like, basically a few of the trucks go off and crash into this small town where Spider Mike has been put in jail.
And they pretty much total the whole town, don't they?
Yeah.
They do.
Are these businesses innocent? It's not like an evil town. They're just people's property they've smashed up to annoy the cops or something. Did you guys feel okay with that?
Not really. It disquieted me.
It looked cool.
It did look cool.
Apparently that's enough.
Yeah, but a bit extreme, I suppose. Although they were breaking someone out of jail. I mean, you kind of have to go all the way on that.
Yeah, and they basically Spider Mike had a sob story about him having a child and his wife was pregnant and she'd given birth and he wanted to go to see his son, so he had to leave the convoy. And of course, they're in a racist bit of America and the police have caught him and beaten him up and all that's very sad. Meanwhile, our convoy's got loads of media attention and blah, blah, blah. We have to be all... They had that weird moment, actually. We were going to talk about the explosion and now I'm boring it up with the like political stuff, but they had that bit where they were they were on the news. They were a huge convoy. It had become a massive news story. Therefore, it didn't matter that they were breaking the law. Somehow, they were able to like park and stop the convoy and not all got arrested, but could have like a big shower. Did anyone understand why they could suddenly stop the convoy and it wasn't everyone getting arrested?
It's because, like, one of the governors of one of the states was trying to get in their good books so, like, he could spin it politically for himself. So he, like, arranged a meeting with them in this place where they could have, like, safe haven for a while from the police.
Because it turns out people really like driving down a straight road with lots of other cars or trucks, and it's just okay. And then the media are there, and the media, they do quite a good stunt with the cameras filming the trucks in the back of a like van, and they it gets all this hype and attention. I guess then it's too big a story is the reason. But then weirdly they take the brakes off that, so to speak, by going, oh, look over here. Rubber Duck, who's in charge of them all, and is some kind of legend, like leader of some kind of vague political thing, he's just going to go away now because he doesn't... You carry on with the no-purpose convoy, and I'll leave, and no one follows him, apart from his friends, but no cops think to follow him, or the media, and he saves, like, Spider-Mike, who's been beaten up and put in jail.
Yeah, for me, that felt like... Like the film kind of like reminding itself is like, no, we were doing this like vendetta against a sheriff plotline. Just go back to that.
Yeah.
We've had this dalliance with like trying to pass comment over like politics and the American news. And now, no, don't forget the actual film we're making.
Yeah, the one with explosions? Oh, yeah, explosions. Let's get the army in. The sheriff has been thwarted a bunch of times now, so he can be holding a machine gun with the army, because, you know, he's there as well. He teleports around so that he can be everywhere. And he's going to kill the guy if he doesn't stop. They try and cross the bridge or whatever into Mexico. Like, the convoy that sort of is stalled, and essentially... They have this weird, like, we'll gun you down for ages, you will drive at us, and then there's a sort of explosion because he's like an oil tanker, but he luckily falls off the bridge, and it sort of...
Luckily?
how would you put it? Like,
well, to me it seemed like, because the truck is, like, made of two parts, there's the truck and then there's the cargo. So the cargo kind of blows up, but that doesn't mean the truck blows up. The truck would keep going.
Yeah.
So it just, like, veers off the bridge into the river, where no one could possibly have survived.
Yeah, I mean, it's epic. And it is a bit like, oh, well done, you've killed him then. Sad. But then, of course, because it's not one of those types of movies, even though he's clearly exploded and fallen off a bridge and fallen in the water and been shot at, he did survive, maybe lost an eye or something. But we still go through, they psych us out and have, like, his funeral, and they have a whole thing about the governor trying to bring it round to a political thing and make him a martyr, and then the truck guys are like, oh, yeah? No, I'm not having this poppycock. Let's drive our trucks out of here and kidnap his, corpse. Yeah. Good it would. Yeah, but they're having like his funeral, so it's his casket on the back of a truck or a flatbed or whatever. So they drive off with that, but then they reveal, oh, it's okay, he's alive, and even the sheriff gets to like have a wink and a thumbs up or whatever they do to say, oh, you pesky little rubber duck. And then that's the conclusion. I think there's more things we could address before we put this thing to bed. I think, you know, we've missed out the whole female romantic side of it as well.
Oh, that's because it's not worth talking about.
She doesn't do anything.
She has weird short afro hair and is a bit raunchy looking.
But they doesn't have this really weird... act that way.
Yeah, and they have a romance. But I feel like that romance occurs completely off screen. So then when he throws her out of the cab later on, you don't care.
Well, he has at the start some flirtatious, dangerous driving, as all action movies should have, where she's like a photographer. She's taking pictures of him and endangers their lives and gets them pulled over by the police. And then they hook up and she's like hitchhiking because her car's wrecked or something. And then she just stays with him. And he kind of won't let her out at first. She's like, hang on, you can't go in this illegal driving away forever. I want out. And he's like, I can't stop. So you're not getting out. Like, I guess you have to be in love with me then.
Yeah, she's just kind of along for the ride. I mean, you don't really see her grow in any way, per se.
No, not at all.
She tries to deal with the media a bit. She sort of becomes the unofficial voice of this convoy of truckers who are just there for escaping purposes and then political ones.
Yeah, and then she's just there to be discarded at the end.
She's the female eye candy, I guess. It's a shame that she's it's good that she's in it, but at the same time, it's not that compelling a character, really. I mean,
no.
I wouldn't say I think the side characters I find more compelling, like Pigpen and Spider Mike, and even like Black Widow or Widow Woman or whatever they call her. I really liked her. Like, I thought she was funny, and some of the beardy dudes and the kind of more silent, crazy types I like. Abby, you seem to take to some of them.
I did. I took to this one trucker in particular who didn't have any front teeth, and he was an older gentleman, but he looked like he was having the time of his life in this movie.
Yeah! Like that kind of guy.
What stands out for me was the weird kind of Jesus camp minibus that follows them around as well.
Yeah,
those guys are interesting.
There's like Christians, but there's a minister who is quite, like, they're suggesting the minister isn't a real minister. It's some kind of quasi-Christian hippie bus thing with that's like painted like the bus by that the Electric Mayhem drive around in. Yeah, they were interesting. Like, did you understand them, though? They're a Christian hippie movement, are they?
Well, I don't know. That's kind of like why they stood out a bit, because it's like, why are you here? And yet you're really entertaining.
Yeah. You know, they also had, like, other people who didn't have trucks joining them, like camper vans and, like, just other people. There was lots of, like, texture to the road journey. Every now and again they'd throw in, you know, people that either the trucks nearly ran over or brass bands playing them, and they had a lot of like interesting the people of America stuff. I thought they did that well. It wasn't just focused on the drivers.
They teased that some kind of guy in a golf cart was going to start following them around, and they never did.
Yeah, they sort of had him go, yeah, I'm going to join your convoy. Great. Didn't see him, but it doesn't matter. It was such a long convoy anyway.
There's also, like, the old couple in the old styly car, which will become, like, a slight motif throughout the film.
Yeah, they get passed, and then at the end, for some reason, the last thing we see is them kissing each other. It's like, okay, didn't know they had a story. we've talked about Spider-Mike. He was the main character to get development. We didn't talk that much about the guy played... Oh, what was his name? Oh, like, Love Machine. What was the guy who plays him...
Burt Young.
Is he... Wait, which one of the... Is it the sheriff or him that's in The Taking of Pelham 1-2-3?
I think it's the sheriff.
Yeah, so what's...
Yeah, Burt Young is most famous for the Rocky films.
Oh, yeah.
He's, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I knew him from somewhere, and I was like... And then when the sheriff came in, I was like, oh, hang on. I thought both of you... No. So I got all confused about Pelham 1-2-3, and it was Rocky I was thinking of, yeah. But he was quite a likable character, and he had a sort of, I don't know, he had a really boring bit where nearly in Mexico he had to brake really quickly for an ice cream van and some kids crossing a road. And the most irresponsible guy ever running the bus thing.
It did seem a bit flat when that happened, because it's like they obviously need an excuse in order to break up the convoy.
Yeah.
And have Duck go off on his own. But I don't know, it just felt like, oh, that's it. Like an ice cream van got in their way.
And it
it's like, that was the great plan that stopped the convoy. Yeah, it's like, well, if they really wanted to keep going, they could have.
Yeah, we can go around this. And Abby, I think you were flabbergasted at how terrible a job they did of having the kids cross the road.
Yeah, the actual
crossing
guard. The only word I can think of is kayfabe. But like the guy getting to cross the road was making them cross in front of a truck that was going too fast.
Also, a famous convoy that's in the news is coming up down that road, and you can see them. And yet, let the kids cross one by one across the road. That's fine. That's not going to be a problem. What an idiot! But it could have. That whole thing was just, I guess, to make it everyone like listening in on the radio to know if something had gone wrong. It's like, of course it did. There was a roadblock. It was the army. They were shooting at him. There's only one way this ends. Bizarrely, it wasn't in his death. But whatever. Like, also, before that, he kicks the woman out. He's sort of seeing. I don't know. Like, he kicks her out and says, like, you have to get out. And fair enough, he doesn't want to sacrifice her life in his silly stunt. But he just kind of gives her the boot, and then when he's alive, she's like, yeah, I'm happy. I guess we'll drive off into the sunset. It doesn't matter that I'm a photographer and have my independent life. I guess I can go on the run in Mexico with you. It doesn't matter.
Yay!
Now.
Yay!
He's dead anyway. Like, so, you know, it's a weird one. I think I enjoyed it, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When it was being, like, the comedic action film that I think I was kind of expecting coming in, that's when I was enjoying it the most. Like, it did dip when it got a bit confusing and started dealing with, like, political issues of America and truckers. But, like, it didn't stay there long, I suppose, and forced itself back on track.
Yeah, I mean,
after a while.
It's an interesting point to make about how sometimes the media jumps on something, and then it's in the public gets all interested, and therefore politicians don't care what it's about. They just want to get in on it and kind of use it. That's an interesting thing to highlight, but it in no way made sense in this film, and it was so awkwardly crowbarred in and irrelevant. I don't know, like, it could have just been the Wacky Races movie that it needed to be. What did you think, Abby?
Yeah, it was so strong in many elements, and then so cripplingly weak in others.
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff to like about it, but then the rest of the time, although I guess, for a movie based on a song, they did a really good job to make it make sense.
They went above and beyond, like, I suppose, for that.
The only place I've seen that kind of trucker, like, country and western song is in, like, bit of an obscure one, but in 15 Stories High, which is a Sean Locke TV series that was on in the '80s, that had a guy who lived in a flat who loved trucker songs, and he's a British guy, so it's extra weird, and he just loves trucker songs, and he does like a long trucker poem or song or whatever, and it's the weirdest thing, because you just get a look into this niche world of people who romanticise the American road and the all-American trucker attitude. I think it is a film for people who love trucking, and that's okay. I think it's a good one for them. I don't begrudge them Convoy.
Yeah, it's the film has fun characters and like some fun situations. So it's not up to like much per se, but it's quite an entertaining little thing. Like maybe it was slightly too long.
Yeah,
like a good like quarter of an hour, 20 minutes too long. Like it could have been a lot shorter and tighter if they had kind of skimmed some of the middle out. But no, it was all right. There was more to it than I thought coming in.
Yeah, that's true. Any other final thoughts from yourself, Abby?
It's not going to be one I watch very often, but every now and again, I'm going to crack it out. Have another little look at Convoy. Enjoy the fight scene, enjoy the stunts at the end, and tuts and shake my head at Chris Christopherson's promiscuity.
And the kind of generic kind of country/rednecky kind of music.
Yeah.
That's going throughout.
It's effective. It really is the right music for the job. Like, and the sheriff's funny, like, as well. It's kind of, you know, classic, like, farcical road comedy stuff. But it works. Right, this is the clincher now, guys. Oh, not the clincher. This is the thing, though. We have to come up with some kind of truck... we have to come up with some kind of truck rating. So, I think it has to be trucks. I think there might be enough trucks in pop culture. Does anyone have any suggestions?
I don't know. Something a bit more general, kind of like... When you see Americans these days, they have, like, these super-powered, huge kind of pickup trucks with, like, add-ons and, like, and just kind of really over-the-top and ridiculous.
Just pimped out.
Yeah, looking. And I guess it's kind of like that for me.
Yeah, with a more 70s aesthetic, but, I totally get where you're coming from. It is that kind of all-out, like... bold and kind of a bit tacky.
Yeah.
Abby, do you have anything?
Ooh, you found a weak spot in my...
Do you have a favourite Transformer?
It's not Optimus Prime. He's the only one who's a truck.
There aren't many famous trucks in popular culture.
No.
Now that I'm thinking about it. Other than, like, Postman Pat's van or something.
Oh, well, it's definitely not that. I've got to be careful where I go with Transformers, because I'll have Chris Vernon, if he listens to it, he'll be up in arms for being so, like, ignorant. I was going to suggest, before you bring up that there aren't any other trucks, that he's a bit like, what's his name? The baddie from Transformers. Anyone?
Megatron,
because he's like this robot that turns into a gun, but then that avoids the truck analogy, so... Like, there's something crap about Megatron's turning into a gun, and yet the Transformers are kind of silly and enjoyable, but that's not going to work, is it?
It's not quite there. No.
Maybe, well, I've got one-ish, and then you can have your chance to either say one or say, I have no idea, you're an idiot.
You say yours.
Well, if I had one in mind, I did briefly mention I like the game Vigilante 8. The guy in that, I think, is called Convoy, which is perfectly apt. It's a big yellow truck. You can have any kinds of, like, weapons mounted to it, and you all shoot your other opponents. But the film Convoy is obviously represented by Convoy in that game. It's a truck, and it's over-the-top, kind of violent and silly in the video game. It has silly, like, powers. I think it has some kind of horn blast, which is ridiculous, but kind of fun to do and send vehicles flying. And this film likes sending vehicles flying. It's kind of crazy and silly. And it's got that... And again, Vigilante 8 has this 70s aesthetic that's kind of mad. So it's epitomised by Convoy. They obviously were influenced by the film when they made the character, I think. But that's how I'd represent this film.
Yeah, I think Abby mentioned, like, it reminded her... somewhat of the Blues Brothers, and like thinking about it, like Blues Brothers obviously is a kind of parody of these kind of films, and you can like really see it. You can see a lot more of the tropes in this one.
Yeah,
I have a thing.
Excellent.
It's a mining truck because they're huge. They're like four times as big as regular trucks because they operate in that small area. So it's like other movies, but overblown to the point where it's kind of not awe-inspiring exactly, because that's overstating what Convoy is like, but the sheer puffed upness of it makes it more endearing.
It's big, it's hard, it's noisy, it's very American. I get to guess.
Wafting with masculinity.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a pretty good analogy, I think. I think that sums it all up. Let's just crack a window and let out some of that masculinity now. And maybe have a shower all in a big pile in a truck stop. That was weird, man. Just all the men and a couple of women showering together because, you know, the road's hot and long and, like... We're having a nice convoy time. Like, very odd. But we should end the podcast, right, guys?
Yes. Right.
What do they say? We haven't used any numbers or that breaker, over, 10-4 and all that. We haven't done any of that. I wanted to, but I couldn't be bothered. What do you say when you're a trucker and you want to say goodbye?
Goodbye, over.
You insult someone, and then you don't speak.
So we're going to stop transmitting, which I believe, if you're a well-informed trucker, you'll know that's a 10-3. So it's a 10-3 for me.
Yeah, it's 10-3 for me, over.
And it's a 10-3 for me. Goodbye.
Honk, honk. Honk, honk. They blasted those horns very far out of that town. That made no sense as well.